हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhagavad Sandarbha Adhyayana 3, Adhikarana 3, Transcendental Attributes of Bhagavan, page 52. Purva Paksha. It is contrary to say that the Lord has birth and activities and does not have birth and activities. Uttara. The case of having contradictory natures is explained. He attains this by his maya. This means that his inconceivable Surup Shakti accomplishes what cannot normally be accomplished. One can say that birth and activities do not exist in him, since his birth and activities are different from those of Prakriti. They arise from his Surup. Commenting on Brahma Sutra 1.4.15, Shankara says, Sat is generally used to describe objects which have been transformed by possession of material name and form. Asat is that which existed before creation of names and forms. In Shruti, Brahman is thus called Asat. Right, so you have both ways that it's used. Meaning, Sat meaning we call it a substance here. Right, so it exists like that. But, and that which is beyond, that's Asat. I mean, it's not from here. Right, but the other times we also use it that Sat is the transcendental because of its eternal attributes. And then here it's asat because it's temporary. Does that make sense? So depending on whether you're looking at the time of it, eternal or temporary, or whether you're talking about it as substance that we're used to, or what's subtle and what's beyond. Right? So the point is, as Shankaracharya is pointing out, is that there's that which acts according to here, and there's that which acts according to there. So what acts according to here, then we apply our logic and everything, and that's fine. But what's from there, what's asat, then we can't apply that knowledge, that logic, because it's beyond that. And so he accomplishes this by his Surup Shakti, by his maya, that all these things can be happening at once. Yes?
Also in the Gita, in the beginning, Krishna says, my births and activities, he himself says it. And then later he says, I'm unborn.
Yes.
So it's in him, it's not a problem.
No. Yeah, so for him, it's a pastime. It's not actually that he takes birth. He's not forced to take birth. It's just he appears like that. So you call it a birth. That's why we say the Lord's appearance. Right? So that, yeah. So,
yeah. The chit potency and the swarup shakti, the same?
Yes, yes. When you say chit shakti, then you're bringing out the aspect of the knowledge, the consciousness, the activities. See, because the aspect of activities is extremely important. When you say sarup, then you're bringing out the aspect that's non-different from him. It is his form. And so his form is omnipotent. And so all potencies are there. And by that, he's omnipresent, and all these, all contradictions, because he's omnipotent means all potencies come from him. That means within potencies there's going to be differences. Yes. Differences we'll call contradictory.
Yes.
Right? So, therefore, since they're from him, there's no problem, because he being the origin, it's all reconciled to his surup, by his desire.
Yes.
Right, because we're not in control of the energy, that's why it doesn't work out quite the way we want it. You know, we have contradictions. I do no work, but I will be fabulously, you know, rich and wealthy and everything else, even though I do nothing. Yeah. So this aspect, and then the other aspect of the chit, then we're bringing out this aspect of that chit is important because activities are important. Mm-hmm. Right? Because when you say relationship, you have a relationship, but how do you, when do you see the relationship? In activity, right? Like you have, let's say, a mother and a child. So by existence, they have a relationship. But it's when there's interaction between them, then you see the relationship. Right? That's where it's tasted. So that's the whole idea. Is that the chit, that's why devotional service, it's a cultivation. It's not, you know, sitting down and doing meditation and things like that. Right? It's an active principle. Does that make sense? So we see this, everyone meet karma because they're active in that area. Jnana because they're active in that area. Right? Yogis because they're active in that area. So bhakti because they're active in devotional activity. That's why it probably calls it a cultivation. Right? It's a cultivation of Krishna consciousness. And then a form of it, an application is it's a cult. Cult means a cultivation. Cult means you have a group of rules and regulations and values that you're cultivating. Right? Of course, nowadays it takes on a bad connotation because cult is applied to anything other than our cultivation. Right? You know, the first world cultivation, anything else is a cult. Right? So. Vishnu Purana says, Gunams cha, doshams cha, mune, Vyatita. O sage, the Lord is devoid of good qualities and bad qualities. But later it says, Samasta Kalyana Gunatmako He. The Lord is endowed with all auspicious qualities. But, yeah. So, here's that. Why do we say something's a good quality here? Right? Because let's say, you know, just like we were discussing yesterday with Nietzsche, then he takes it that envy is a good quality. Right? Because I see someone else with a fancy car. I get envious. And so then I want that car. So now I will motivate myself to go out, work hard, and get that car. So he's saying all the modern progress, everything's happening because of envy. Which technically is true. But he's also missing out on the point there's attachment, because you get envious. If it's not something you're attached to, it wouldn't bother you. Right? Someone else has a nice car. You don't care about cars. What would you care? You know what I'm saying? Like the dog walks down the street. It doesn't matter if it's a Fiat or a Ferrari. It will pass urine on the tires. It's how you're saying, seeing with that equal vision, you know, like that. So the whole point is we put on it that this is good or this is not good. Right? Somebody's bold will say that's good. Someone else is bold, oh, that's not good, he's too bold. You understand? So every quality we will decide. So when it says he has no good or bad qualities, means his qualities aren't up for mundane logical discussion by my moralistic concept on whether it's good or not. You know, like Krishna dancing with the gopis. Some will say that's bad. You know, does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that he's beyond the mundane concept of good and bad. Does that make sense? Yeah. But it says he has all auspicious qualities, means he's the source of all the qualities. He's the origin of all the qualities. Vishnu Puran says, Jnana Shakti Balaishwarya Virya Tejams Yaseshata Bhagavach Chabda Vachyani Vina Heyer Gunadi Bihi. The word Bhagavan means to be endowed with unlimited knowledge, sensory power, bodily strength, power of control, influence, and beauty without inferior qualities. Vishnu Purana. Right, so, in this list of the six, you see it's taking on the aspect of his control. Right? The control of knowledge, control of senses, control of the body, control of powers themselves, the influence on others, right? And then beauty. Right? Because beauty is the origin of all these. Right? Because his body is the source of all the good qualities. So the body, the beauty of the body, that's the origin of all the other qualities. Yosau nirguna it yukta shastreshu jagadishwara prakriter heya samyukter guner hinatvam uchate. It is said in all scriptures that the Lord of the universe is without qualities. He is devoid of inferior qualities. The word inferior means material qualities, Padma Purana. So when we say he is endowed with all superior qualities, then we understand that means the spiritual, means it's his own qualities. Inferior then mean the mundane. So, yeah. Thus, swamayaya cannot mean anything except the Surup Shakti. Right? Because it's his maya, it can only mean the Surup Shakti, it can't mean Mahamaya. So Mahamaya, then that's where material qualities are. And then we say this is good, this is bad. But Surup Shakti then means it is his own. It's his own qualities, it's his own potencies. Right? Let me surrender to you, Bhagavan. You are the condensed form of pure knowledge, and by being situated in your bliss, you have forms of many qualities. Your desires are always fulfilled. Because of your Surup Shakti, you are never touched by the material gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:37-22. Because he associates with his internal potency. All the potencies are his, but the external potency is a transformation of his internal potency. So he only deals with the internal. The external then is in that way separate. Does that make sense? No, it's all coming from him. He's in control of it. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the son of Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, who destroys, I guess, all sin, and who, although fixed in his own bliss with no distractions, became attracted to the pastimes of Krishna and mercifully spread the Bhagavatam, which describes Krishna and reveals the rasa of his pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:12-69. Right, so that he is transcendental, right? Because we remember in previous discussions about this, is that the Atmaramas, they're attracted to the Supreme Lord. So they're not attracted to the material energy, but they're attracted to Krishna. So being non-material, they can't be attracted by anything material. So their attraction to the Lord means it has to be spiritual. It has to be on the same transcendental platform as the Atmaramas are situated on. Right? If you're on the platform of Sat, that means Krishna's qualities have to be on that platform. Right? Because they don't come within the context of the material. Right? Because here, we're deciding this by the modes of nature. But there, it's beyond the modes. So it has its eternal, natural position. So even so-called bad qualities are good in Krishna. Right? Because he's the source of them. It's here that they give us problem. Right? The other aspect we see that's nicely brought out here is the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam brings up reveals the rasa of his pastimes. Others may bring out the position of the pastimes, what the pastimes are, the interactions, like this. But actually the rasa taste in those pastimes, that's unique to Bhagavatam. Yeah? Yes, sir. Thus, Maya refers to the chit shakti, since Maya, meaning quote-unquote, illusion, would be contrary to the intention of the speaker. Sridhar Swami explains the word yogamaya as chit-shakti. So yogamaya, chit-shakti, srup-shakti. You know, internal potency, antaranga shakti. You know, they're all the same thing. Because you're talking about all the shaktis together. That's the meaning of that.
So actually, when the living entity has some attraction for something, it is the same. It indicates the same nature. Because in the material world, the jiva is not satisfied.
Yes. But see, is that you have two things happening here when you're attracted to something in the material world. Is that you have the one, is that you have a conditioned nature. Right? That's part of material, the material phenomena. And so therefore, you are attracted to similar elements within the material nature.
Yes.
Right? You can't be attracted to something that you don't have a nature for.
Yes.
Right, so that will be that aspect is there. Your conditioning, you know, by in particular modes, are attracted by other items within that have similar modes, similar qualities. Right, so like that. The second aspect is that it's dead matter, so it doesn't actually technically have any particular qualities,
mm-hmm.
right? Other than its inertness,
yes.
right? And so that means that whatever we're perceiving as those qualities, they're actually Krishna's qualities that are pervading it through his energy. So the Srup Shakti transforms into Yogamaya, into Mahamaya. That potency then pervades everything. That's what gives us the feeling that it's attractive. Mm-hmm. So it's Krishna's potency that we're attracted to. But because of conditioning, we in our conditioned state only perceive the external aspect
yes.
of whatever it is. Right? Even though it's subtle, it may be metaphysical,
yes.
but that's still considered gross for the Lord.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
For us, it may be very subtle,
yes.
but the universal form is the grossest manifestation
yes.
of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, so we're able to perceive it in nature, him in the inert matter. Yes. Does that make sense? So both of those are going on. So someone's attracted, they're actually attracted by Krishna, but they don't attribute to the Krishna, so it therefore reacts as mundane.
Mm-hmm.
When the devotee in knowledge sees it and sees that that's Krishna, then he gets the spiritual benefit.
Yes.
If he uses it in devotional service.
Yes.
And if not, then he'll get liberated.
Yes.
You know, like you have these great personalities, the jnanis, where they will see everything in the context of the Supreme and how the Supreme potency is manifesting and going through everything. But they don't see it connected to the person.
Mm-hmm.
That's the important element. Even if they accept that the person is the origin of it, it's about how the all pervadingness and that point, that aspect of it that they're perceiving. Does that make sense? So that's why you see is they can have that proper knowledge, but not actually have devotion. You know, that we would call pure devotion. It means anything for anything to be successful in the world, you have to function with the principles of bhakti. The karmis, anybody, you have to follow the principles of bhakti if you want to be successful. Like Prabhupada was talking about in the Upadeshamrita, that you have the didati prati grinati guyamaki debrichati. Prabhupada says if a businessman wants to be successful, he has to use these. Right? He has a business idea, he has someone who wants to interact with. Right, so the first thing is, you know, he says at a hotel he arranges a nice, you know, nice feast, nice meal. They come together. He reveals his idea. He asks what the other guy says. There's generally some gifts that are given. So he says, in any activity, the interaction relationship is expressed through these six. Like that. That's just the way it is. So. You know, like you say, someone's devoted to his work, he's devoted to his craft, you know, like that. Without devotion, nothing will function. It's just dead matter. Right? So there's the material energy, that's dead matter, and then there's the spiritual world that's based on bhakti. So material world doesn't have its own. You know, just like the mirror. Does it have its own forms and shapes and activities? No, the mirror is there. There's nothing there. Someone goes and stands in front of it and moves around. Now the mirror has, you can say, has those qualities. But otherwise, it's dependent upon the original. That's why the point is that there is only bhakti. But when you perform activities of bhakti without bhakti, then you give it different names, karma, jnana, and yoga. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you have Ashtanga yoga. Right? It's one thing. But if you're only doing the asanas, it's called Hatha Yoga. Does that make sense? You know, or if you're doing it with the pranayama, then it's called Raja Yoga. Does that make sense? So they have all these different things. They call it by that particular, because you're only doing that. You know, it's like the example of giving in cooking. Cooking means the whole thing, from planning a menu to marketing to, you know, cleaning the kitchen to preparing to cooking to plating it to serving it to eating it to, you know, the discussion, the whole thing. That's all. If you know all that, then you can be a good cook. You only know a recipe, you're not actually a good cook. because if you don't know who you're cooking for, how to interact, how to do, you understand? But if you only do a part of that, it's called by that name. You know, let's say you plan catering, you know, or you do the marketing, or you're a kitchen assistant, you know, or you're a cook, or you're a waiter, or you're the maitre d', or you're, you know, you understand? Because they just do a part. But a cook actually does the whole thing. So bhakti means it's the whole thing. Then you take those parts on their own, then we give it different material names. And then when we say everything's dependent on bhakti, then we're shocked. Well, why is that? Bhakti's that. This is this. You know? And then there's that. Yeah, of course. We can kind of, we try to work that in. But there is only bhakti. If we say it's a reflection of what? The devotional activities of the spiritual world. But just because it's the activity, and this is where the confusion comes, because we take it, if you have knowledge and activity, then that's perfect. Well, the spiritual world, no, if you don't have the primary aspect of devotion to Krishna for his pleasure, you don't have anything. So Prahlad Maharaj says, you follow religion without as service to Krishna, it's a waste of time. Right? But we see is that the devotees are always following all the religious principles because that's how you express devotion. You know what I'm saying? So when we take spontaneous, we tend to go with the thing of throwing out the religious processes that are not our religious processes from our conditioning. And then, but we will do the ones from our conditioning. Does that make sense? Yes. So that's the whole point being is that you can only function within the context of your conditioning, and you'll interact with Krishna on that platform, though you're not given the credit of interacting with Krishna because you don't think you're interacting with Krishna. But for devotees, they understand everything's connected to Krishna. So that means yukta vairagya means everything. Means this is, hold on to your hats here. I don't want to shock anybody. Yukta vairagya is broader than just I engage first world items, activities, and values in Krishna's service. Means if anybody explains yukta vairagya, that will be the exclusive singular definition. If you're engaging something Vedic, you know, it's Maya. But if I engage something modern, that's yukta vairagya. But the point is engaging your body in Krishna's service, that's yukta vairagya. Whatever's connected with the body, connecting to Krishna, that's yukta vairagya. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is when you see everything in context. So there is nothing that's not connected to Krishna. So that means yukta vairagya means the connection of everything. Right? But now, we can say, but then all this nonsense is there, but you also interact with the nonsense by not interacting with it. It's a conscious decision. I'm not doing this. Why not? Because it doesn't please Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah, the four regular principles. And so, there you engage the four regular principles in Krishna's service by not doing those. You understand? Because we'll take it as an excuse. Oh, so we can use anything for Krishna. But then you're just starting with your attachments for your own pleasure. What about it's Krishna's potency to be used how Krishna, you know, according to the religious principles as Krishna says, for Krishna's pleasure. That's yukta vairagya. Because yukta means it's connected to Krishna. Vairagya means it's not for yourself. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes, it's favorable to Krishna. Yeah. Okay. Bhagavan's activities. Shamshaya. Okay, so another doubt. But attaining birth and activities means that this happened at a certain time, right? Because they're controlled by time and space. So they can only, their logic can only function in time and space. Like when you're being logical, what are you doing? You're presenting knowledge in a linear fashion. Right? So it's all about time and space. That's why logic cannot know the Lord, because he's beyond time and space. But because he is the time and space come from him, it's not that logic won't be satisfied. Right? When you're discussing about the Lord.
Yes.
Knowledge and logic will be satisfied. But it's not that through knowledge and logic you can know the Lord, because he's beyond. So that's their doubt. Uttara. So the retort. He attains these eternally, anukalam, and never gives them up. The Surup Shakti manifests cause and effect at the same time. So these principles of appearance, disappearance, all these things are eternally part of his Surup. Otherwise, how can there be these activities? Right? Does that make sense? Means you can't have something, you can't have an effect that's not coming from the cause. Right? Clay, a pot made out of clay, there won't be any attributes that clay doesn't have. Does that make sense? It has to be there. So it's because all these things are originally in Krishna. Therefore, then we see them here. So in the spiritual world, that's just manifest in that nature. But because you have the eternal, then you naturally have the temporary. Right? That's just part of his energies. So then it manifests here, and so we see it in the form here according to time and space. But in the spiritual world, it doesn't have that. So they're not burdened by the idea it has to function according to time and space. Right? It'll function according to Krishna's pleasure. Because for us, the time and space means I can control it. So I can get it to be used for myself. If it's beyond time and space, I don't have any control. Therefore, I'm not inclined. Right? Yeah.
It's logical.
Yeah, it's very logical. Yeah. So, the cause and effect, they go together. If you have an item, and therefore you have what it can do. If you have earth, you have what it can do.
Yes.
Right? Because something exists because it has qualities and has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know it exists. So the whole point is these go together. We don't think to this depth. Why? Because we only look at what is existing and what I can do with it to get what result. I don't look at why is it existing. Why is it able to do that activity and get that result? Why is there even a principle of cause and effect? Right? These aren't discussions. People don't discuss this. You know, even the big philosophers don't discuss this. They'll discuss a little bit, you know, just to kind of play with it, but they don't actually get down to the root of it because they can't. So, if you can write books and books on your philosophy, then it looks like there's a lot to say. You've thought about it a lot. You know, you put in a lot of energy. But when you get down to the basic point like that, then that's where it all falls apart. So we generally go right for there. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you have the jugular vein, you don't have to worry about anything else. Does that make sense? No? You know the jugular vein?
No.
It's the one on the neck here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like dogs, they just grab you by the neck. That's it. They don't have to worry about your arms, your legs, your teeth, anything. It's just, you have that, you know, it's done. So you just go right for that point is that, you know, okay, there's only Brahman, this material world is, you know, a Brahman covered by illusion. Where's the illusion come from? They have no answer. Oh, the jiva caused, but then if the jiva caused it, how can there be Brahman, unless it's covered by illusion, can't be a jiva. And you're saying only the jiva is producing illusion. So that means where did the jiva come from if it's the cause of the illusion? So how you're the cause of yourself when you don't exist? You don't exist, but you are the cause of your existence. See, that's the problem, is they don't. So that level will catch.
Now, if we are looking for the cause. We are looking for some. We have the result is it's not us the cause.
Yes.
So we need to accept that there is some.
Yes, that there's someone else beyond us who's actually, you know. I mean, what was I saying? What was those qualities before? Unlimited knowledge, sensory power, bodily strength, power of control, influence, and beauty without inferior qualities. That there's someone other than us that has this and is the source of this. Yeah. So, yes, that's a big problem. That's why the point of faith, Shraddha, means that you actually have faith in the transcendence. Right? Prabhupada said, I think his faith is something sublime. Right?
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is that that's where the switch is. Because if we want to look at it from the mundane, from mundane concepts with mundane results and benefits, then it's going to work in a particular way. And it'll be mundane. So that's the thing, is the Lord being beyond that, then so cause and effect go together. We don't generally look at cause and effect. I look at, you know, some immediate cause and effect, you know, because the guy grew up in a poor background, that's why he's so materialistic, or because it was poor and he had to work for himself, that's why he's so self-centered, like that. But as we said the other day, that's always the guy, the bad guy always comes from that background. But if you look at it, so many of the good guys come from that background also. You know, he grew up in a poor situation, nothing there. He had to go out, you know, from 6 years old. He was out selling newspapers and this and that. And he worked around until he got his PhD and all this. And now he's that and doing all these things. Right? So it's the same background. So the one, we say, is the cause of the bad. But the same thing is the cause of the good. You know, so we'll look at it superficially like that. Oh, because of this. And then we put everybody in the box, you know, like that. But, you know, what's that got to do with anything? Does that make sense? No?
So, if Krishna is the cause and he is an effect, so what is our position?
Servants.
Because we want to be this or that, like servants. It's not.
See, that's the thing, is we want to be the cause of the effect. We want to be the subject of the object.
Exactly.
But we're not. We're an instrument connected to the verb. So that's why also you see the activity is so important, because that's where we come in. We're part of that aspect. So when we say chit, that's what we're talking about, the activity. When we say the sarup, it means the non-difference. So we say the pleasure potency, we're talking about the experience that's gained from that. Does that make sense? So we give the different names to the same energy depending upon whether we're bringing out sat, chit, or ananda. Right? So we're an aspect of that chit, the connection between the Lord and his energies. His interaction, we can then assist. And the point is that, and it's a good deal. Krishna's unlimited, his Rupa Shakti is unlimited, we're 1/10,000 the tip of a hair. So that we can be connected with that internal potency, interacting, who is unlimited, connected with Krishna who's unlimited, and then in that way we can appreciate or experience unlimited. It's good. Problem is here, we're just on our own, and then we try to deal. And if you think about it, moments, you know, when someone has a moment, it's the moment where you're aware of the eternal aspect.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, you know, it's your best friends forever.
Yes.
Because there's that feeling of that moment that, yeah, we're always going to be friends. Or it's always based on that when you touch the unlimited, when you touch the absolute. They don't know that that's what it is, but that's what it is. That's the moment. And it's because it's that, and because we're coming from that platform, that's why you can run your whole life based on a moment. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so the cause and effect at the same time, because they're non-different, he's both. So then the energy will produce one, and then the other. They're both there. That's why you can have both. So they originate in him. They don't have the cause and effect, the linear aspect. That's not the cause of Krishna. Krishna, he is this existence. Therefore, then they manifest through activity, then you'll see cause and effect.
Yes.
But both principles are eternally him. So, make a lot of sense, but not making any sense. Okay. Purva Paksha, right? So then now their answer to that. How can birth and activities be eternal? They are activities. Action is accomplished by a sequence of parts from beginning to end. Without that, action's very nature would be destroyed. Right? So it's action means it's a bunch of parts. It's a sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's why we can see it connected with our logic.
Yes.
Right? Time and space.
Yes.
Therefore, anything that's time and space means it's material, and if there's activities or the sequence of events that's seemingly by time and space, therefore it must be material. So how can God have these qualities? Okay. Uttara. So then the retort. This is not a fault, since the Lord's forms are always eternal. The manifestations of his forms are eternal. The pastimes like birth and activities are eternal. And the manifestations in the spiritual world and material world of his places and associates in unlimited universes and unlimited Vaikunthas are eternal. Though his birth and activities appear and disappear with a beginning and end in some places, portions of his birth and activities end, in other places they do not end, and in other places they begin. Right? Because it means the pastime is happening here. You know, then as soon as that pastime is finished here, it's continuing in another universe. Right? So it's always going on. Some sense. Yeah.
There's always birth.
There's always that Krishna appearing in the dungeon, right? And as soon as that's over and then he takes the form of a baby, then that part of him being forehead Vishnu is in the next universe. Right, and then you know, then he's becoming a baby when they picks up and then goes. Then that's already gone to the next universe. So every moment that there's a moment here, as soon as that moment is accomplished here, it's the moment is happening in the next universe. So it's
inconceivable.
Huh?
It's inconceivable.
Inconceivable. Right? There's unlimited universes. Yes.
So can we say because of his all-pervasive nature,
yes,
they sequence? But also, everything happens in eternal present.
Yes, everything's there. Because it's always there, it's just a matter of when it's manifesting. We're used to manifesting means it has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right.
So, as far as pastimes go, it appears that way. But the point is the principle of all those things are eternal. Otherwise, how would they exist in the first place? Right? So, for here, there's the temporary aspect that it comes up. It's there and then it disappears. And we have no connection or control of that. Right? But these principles are Krishna's principles. So it's like you have the universal form, means these are already always there. You know, it's like, I don't know, you have the, what do you call it? It's a thing that's quite, you know, kind of contemporary popularity, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but doppelganger. You no? Heard? No? No one? No. In simple terms, it means look alike. That makes sense? Is that too American? Okay. Just means someone who looks the same. Like you've had people that you look back in history, and there's somebody today who looks exactly like that. Right? They're not from the same place, same family, same country, same time, but they look exactly the same. And if you check, there may be a similarity in nature. Right? Because it's just the modes of nature. If someone has a particular nature, by consciousness, they're going to get a particular form that matches that. Right? Because it's said that according to your consciousness, then you have those senses. And then the body gravitates around those senses. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So then it's natural, they look the same, it's not a big deal. Right? It's not that it's time traveling and this and that and so. No, it's just it's the modes of nature.
Srila Prabhupada in Sri Shapinusha described this thing. He says the body just covers consciousness.
Yes.
that's why it has some form.
Yes. Yes, and then it'll take on it'll manifest those qualities. So here we're used to beginning and end. But for Krishna, these are just always there. It's just for variety. One will come up, and then it'll disappear, but it's eternally there. So even the material, it's based on the eternal. Otherwise, how do you have that?
In the same way, Srila Prabhupada describes Krishna's disappearance and appearance like something moves behind the window.
Yes,
so
yes.
It becomes visible just for some time for us, but still it moving. It's
yes.
Hidden, but we can see this for a moment. And
yes.
Like sunrise and sunset.
Sunset, yes.
So we can fly in airplane for in west to west,
okay.
And all the time we can see the sun, so there will be no sunset. That's why
yes.
We can, with our devotion, always perceive Krishna's presence.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Good.
Yeah. I think this principle explains Bhrigu's astrology, because he has certain, standard things, and then people come to him, and then he just seeing that nature manifest, he picks that.
Leave
or whatever it is, and then explain, and everybody is like in ecstasy.
Yeah, because there's only so many combinations that are there that would be happening. You know, it's the same thing. So yes, exactly. That's how it works. How the science works, because it's based on these things. So that's why you see is that. Someone, let's say, who's an astrologer, then if they actually understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it'll make more sense to them. They can present it better. If it's only a matter of they don't have that, they would have to be really, really good. Good memory, good mathematical skill, good analytical skill, and good memorization, that they can remember all the combinations and all that. Then they can kind of mechanically deal with it. But for the devotees, they can understand actually the principles that are going on. Like the last six chapters of Gita, you know those really well, then that's how the astrology is working. It's just that's controlled by the planets. So your planets here, planets there, this house, that house. Then it makes for the, you know, how, what particular manifestation is there. Is that, you know, it's like juice you put in a jug, right? Sabji you put in the bowl, right? So it's just the way it works. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's... Yeah. Since there is no break in continuity of their performance, the birth and activities exist eternally. Sometimes they are slightly different because of different details, and sometimes they are exactly the same because of the same details. So there'll be something that's common, but there'll be a variety, even within that, there'll be a variety how he manifests. Right? Look, Ramachandra always goes to Lanka. But how he goes to Lanka, that will be different. This time he built a bridge, right, out of mountain peaks. Right? Other times there's other ways. So that makes sense. But the point is, you always go to Lanka. That's the main points of the whole thing.
Yeah, there's a description that this time Akrura takes Krishna to Mathura,
yes.
But the other time he rides on Kaliya.
Okay, yeah.
So it's quite an appearance.
Yeah, definitely. Imagine the guy sitting down fishing at the Jamuna. Picks up his bottle. What's in this stuff? You know? Yeah. So that's, we also know that as, Kalpa Beta. Difference in the Kalpa. Just like in the Bhagavatam, then we see the pastime, how, you know, the Bhagavatam, and then at the end, how Parikshit Maharaj disappears. Mm-hmm. But we see in Mahabharata, it's a different way he disappears. Like the Mahabharata, there's no speaking of Bhagavatam. He just builds a fort and all that, but still, because it's supposed to happen, it will. So there's a variety of how it's taken care of. One form alone performs actions separately in different manifestations. This is Nard's intention in saying Chitram Bataitad Ekena Vapusha. How astonishing, in one form he performed activities at each palace. Right, so that's the whole point that shows there. He's able to do all these activities in one form. And he's appearing in all these different places, though he's one person.
Right. Is it correct to say that only Krishna's pastimes are different from kalpa to kalpa, but still material existence is always the same?
It's always the same. There might be some little variety. Like next Kali Yuga, that big band, instead of becoming called the Beatles, they might be called the Cockroaches or something. Okay. You know, the Centipedes, or, you know, like that. Like that. You know. Does that make sense? The drum will be called Bongo instead of Ringo. You know, like this. It's the same thing because it's the same modes, and therefore in the different ages you have different manifestation of modes, so that means you have the natural manifestation of the facilities. The people, the forms that go with it, the activities that go with it. So it's just a matter of the modes of nature. So it's just this all. Yeah. In different manifestations where the actions take place, there's a different identity of Krishna and his associates, since separate action takes place. This being the case, the manifestation of rasa generated by the sequence of pastimes is experienced in each place. So, if you have a different manifestation like that, then there's going to be different associates, therefore there's going to be different flavors. So, Krishna with his associates, even though it's the same persons in Ramlila, it's different. It's a different taste. Or in Dwarka Lila, it's a different taste. Or in Chaitanya Lila, it's a different taste. Right? They have a different name, even though it's the same people. So then again, another argument. How can the birth and activities be one, since they begin separately in different manifestations? Right, so that's the thing, is they're looking at it by the time and space, that this linear progression, that the activity is happening like this, the beginning here, the end here, the activity like this. So they're stuck within time and space. They can't think beyond time and space. Though, they're talking about the eternal. Right? Either the atheists are saying like this, because they can only think material and they're only interested in material, or we have the impersonalists who then are talking about the eternal, but their contemplation of the eternal is simply within time and space. Okay. Uttara. There is oneness of the same action arising at different times. Shankara in his commentary says, when one says the word cow twice, one does not perceive two different words but one. Right? Just because there's two, you say cow twice, doesn't mean it's two different words now.
Two cows.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. You know, you want 10, you know, like you heard the Brahmins had got 10,000 cows. I want 10,000 cows, go out in the field, say cow 10,000 times. And then, yeah. It is correct to say that the birth and activities are eternal. In the Agamas, it is thus proper to meditate on pastimes which happened in the past, since they are eternal. Right? So you're thinking about activities that happened, you say, 5,000 years ago, but those are always going on. Krishna is always present. Like that. So it's not... Yeah. And so, therefore, you'll get the transcendental effect. Right? So now we look at the material, and its aspect is eternal. Is that you're dealing with the universal form. So you think of an activity in the past, it's part of the universal form. So that's why you can still get some taste from that, because you're still connecting to the Lord. But because you're working within the material cause, material realm, therefore past is covered by ignorance. And so therefore there'll always be a lamentation, those all those things that go with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or the future, even though it's already there in the universal form, but it'll create passion. Only if you're dealing the present, then it's goodness. But because Krishna is always present, he's not affected by time and space. Therefore, thinking of him, whatever that activity is, it's in the present. Paramatma sambanditvena nityatvad trivikramatvadishvapya apyupa samhar yatvam yujate. It is proper to gather vamana and other forms in meditation, since everything related to the Lord is eternal. Madhva's Bhashya. Yad gatam bhavachcha bhavishyachcha. The Lord is present in the past, is present now, and will be present in the future. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.8.3. So the point is, he's always, right? The coward boys are going to see Krishna in the morning. But that meditation on seeing Krishna tomorrow is Krishna now. But it has that flavor of the future, though it's in the present. Right? If they think of what they did during the day with Krishna, it's still in the present. So that's why it says in the spiritual world there's no past or future. Because right? It's always Krishna. Krishna is eternal.
And Maharaj, to have rasa means it's equivalent to live in the present. There is no rasa in the past or in the future.
No, yes. Because, means not the transcendental, the rasa is because it's connected to Krishna.
Yes.
So it's always there. That's why then you can have the aspect of what do you call it, that eagerness to meet Krishna.
Yes.
Or this feeling of separation.
Yes. Yes.
But they're not controlled by passion and ignorance.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Because they're Krishna. So Krishna is present.
Yes.
But because of the nature, they give a different flavor.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Okay. Even though it's the same thing.
Yes.
Just like, let's say, on a... We'll try the example. On a, cold day, like let's say there's snow outside. You're sitting inside the house in front of a fire and all that, nice and warm, and you're eating a bowl of ice cream. That has one flavor. Take the same bowl outside and sit in the snow, different flavor, even though it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Yes.
Maharaj, in a sense, we can say that our experience is three phases of time.
Yes.
Past, present, and future.
Yes.
But our existence, actually, if we look at it closely, is only at present. We exist at present, at
yes.
the moment.
Yes. Yeah, we don't exist in the past or in the future. Yes. What exists in the past and future is the universal form. But we're not
yes.
seeing that. We're not understanding that.
Right.
Yes.
So, like you say, we're only existing now. But these there's a perception of these things. So material time means then you're bound by that, by the modes. Right? The original time, there's no modes. So therefore, it's what's experienced. So then, a night of Brahma is experienced in a moment.
Yes.
We're not controlled by it. His pastimes aren't controlled by time. Here, we're controlled by time. Right? To some extent. So we're used to this linear aspect.
Yes.
That's in space and time, that you can observe, you can calculate. That's why then you see is the hard science is what deals with that. So the physicists, that's their field.
Yes.
So they'll take it that's the core. But they can't define the elements that are there. That's the difficulty. They can't define time and space. So that's why the mode of goodness means dealing in the present. What is my condition now? What's the situation I'm in right now? And what are my position? What are my duties? right? And then to do that without expectation of result, because results in the future. So I have to be in the present to do that. I'm just doing it because this is what should be done. Right? Then that's the mode of goodness. Then being in that present, in service to Krishna, the pleased Krishna, that's pure goodness. The other one is mechanically correct, but it lacks the bhakti. Right? But pure goodness means its mechanics are correct, and it's because it's connected to Krishna. Right? So the other one is not connected to Krishna, but it's not, what do you call it? So it gives the mundane effect. The other one means it's still material, but the pure goodness, because the devotion connected to Krishna, it has that eternal position. So it's Vasudev Sattva. So in one situation, you can deal with two visions. Means how it moves means the linear aspect of what you're dealing with, and then the eternal aspect of what you're dealing with.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it happens simultaneously.
Yeah, yes. That's the thing. That's the point. It's by Krishna's energy, they all are happening at once. So that's why the materialists, then he'll see the one, and the spiritualist will see the other. Then the Gita Shloka, day for the materialist is night for the sage, and what's day for the sage is night for the materialist. Not just what time you go to bed and get up. That's also there. You can physically see that, yes. You're going to Mangal Arctic, and they're just coming out of the nightclub. So, yes, that's what there is. But, so the thing is that's why the pure devotees, they can work with both. Because they see the eternal in its connection to Krishna, then they can work with the present environment to engage that in its linear activity in Krishna's service. But that's why you see is that Uttamadhikaris, they can act as Madhyamas or they cannot. They can just act as Uttamas. But then we'll have nothing to relate to. Yeah. So it's only when they act as Madhyamas then we can relate and then get, take example and try to follow. Right. So that makes sense. So they're seeing both simultaneously. They see what we see, but at the same time they don't, because they see beyond what we see. Right. So all these things are going on at once. But it's because it's Krishna's, it's because it's coming from Krishna. So the physicist is saying that there's all these dimensions at once, but they're not understanding that's because they all exist at once in the original person. That's why you can have all these dimensions. And then you perceive them or not, that's another thing. You know, you're going to perceive what you have the gross and subtle facilities for.
They don't know the cause.
That's what they're looking for. They're looking for the cause. So we can tell them the cause, but it's too easy, right? You know, in other words, you're not going to get a grant off of contemplation of Bhagavatam philosophy. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get it off of doing all this research work and this time and people and, you know, all these things like that. But in actuality, it's just a matter of you perform devotional service, then you can understand it. How all these dimensions can be at once, at the same time that they're only one. You know. So the point is the devotees, only devotees can understand that. Even Mayavadis can't understand this. Because these arguments are generally coming from them. Right? Because basically speaking, every non-Vaishnava philosophy takes shelter of Mayavada. Because it's all-encompassing. It's whatever you feel like, whatever you want, then that's what it is. So everybody can take, all materialists can take shelter of the Mayavada philosophy. So when Prabhupada says Nirvise Shunyavad, it's just that's what it's taking shelter of. Everybody does whatever they like, whenever they like, you know, however they like. Upasamharyatvam means that it is proper to gather all forms during meditation. The Lord's birth is different from material birth. It is an appearance of the Lord, which resembles a material birth. Sometimes it is not similar to a material birth also. Ajayamana bahuda vijayate. Unborn, he is born in many ways. So, it's like that. He may do it the same way, it may be similar, maybe not. It's just however he likes.
So Maharaj, this is quite challenging for the mind. All this,
that's because it's from beyond the mind. It's only, that's what you're saying, it's only through devotion then the Lord will reveal this, right? Through the acharyas. Yes. Because the acharyas are presenting this, that's the only way we know about it. Otherwise, how would we know this stuff? Then the Lord, complete with all his expansions, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, responding to the request of his devotees, appeared from Devaki, none different from the Lord, in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.3.8. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada. Those who are not in full knowledge that the appearance and disappearance of the Lord are transcendental, janma karma chame divyam, Bhagavad Gita 4.9, are sometimes surprised that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can take birth like an ordinary child. Actually, however, the Lord's birth is never ordinary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is already situated within the core of everyone's heart as Antayami, the Supersoul. Thus, because he was present in full potency in Devaki's heart, he was also able to appear outside the body. So, feature that's there, then he manifests outside, then you can say he's taken birth from. So it's never ordinary. One of the 12 great personalities is Bhishma Dev, Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Pralada, Janako, Bhishma, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.20. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.42, Bhishma, a great authority to be followed by devotees, says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the core of everyone's heart, just as the sun may be on everyone's head. Right? So, everybody perceives the sun is sitting on their head.
Yes.
Like that. But it's just one sun. So in the same way, as he is in everyone's heart, though he's just one person. Yet, although the sun may be on the heads of millions and millions of people, this does not mean that the sun is variously situated. Similarly, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has inconceivable potencies, he can be within everyone's heart and yet not be situated variously. Does that make sense? So he's in one place, though he's situated everywhere.
Yes.
Right? Like that. Ekatvam anu pashyata. Ishopanishad 7. The Lord is one, but he can appear in everyone's heart by his inconceivable potency. Thus, although the Lord was within the heart of Devaki, he appeared as her child. According to the Vishnu Puran, therefore, as quoted in the Vaishnava Toshani, the Lord appeared like the sun, anugrahasya, the Brahma Samhita 5.35 confirms that the Lord is situated even within the atom. Andanta rasta paramanu chayanta rastam. He is situated in Mathura, in Vaikuntha, and in the core of the heart. Therefore, one should clearly understand that he did not live like an ordinary child in the heart or in the womb of Devaki. Nor did he appear like an ordinary human child, although he seemed to do so in order to bewilder asuras like Kamsa. The asuras wrongly think that Krishna took birth like an ordinary child and passed away from this world like an ordinary man. Such asura conceptions are rejected by persons in knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropi san. Bhagavad Gita 4.6. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is aja, unborn. and he is the supreme controller of everything. Nonetheless, he appears as the child of Devaki. This verse describes the inconceivable potency of the Lord, who appeared like the full moon. Understanding the special significance of the appearance of the Supreme Godhead, one should never regard him as having taken birth like an ordinary child. Good, then. The Adhikarana continues. To prove the words of his servant that he is present in all objects to be true, the Lord showed an astonishing form which was neither animal nor human to the assembly. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:8-17. Tasyaham bahutite tite kale bhagavan madhusudanaha kardamam viryam apanno jagyegnir iva daruni. After a long time, the Supreme Lord, Madhusudana, who is like the fire in wood, controlled by the strength of bhakti of Kardama, made his appearance. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:24-6. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. It is clearly stated here that the Lord is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he appeared as the son of Kardama Muni. Fire is already present in wood, but by a certain process, fire is kindled. Right, because you can only bring fire out, because you can use the same process of kindling fire on let's say, you know, your rice pot, but it's not going to happen, right? Because there's no fire inherent within it. So the point is Krishna being everywhere, being everything, then he's inherently in everything, so therefore he can manifest wherever he likes, but he's still the same one person. These, all these unlimited aspects are all part of him as the original person. Mm-hmm. So it's not that he's expanding and now like that. It's just manifesting what's already there. Right? Mm-hmm. Similarly, God is all pervading. He's everywhere, and since he may come out from everything, he appeared in his devotee's semen. Just as an ordinary living entity takes his birth by taking shelter of the semen of a particular living entity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts the shelter of the semen of his devotee and comes out as his son. This manifests his full independence to act in any way, and it does not mean that he is an ordinary living entity forced to take birth in a certain type of womb. Lord Nrisimha appeared from the pillar of Hiranyakashipu's palace. Lord Varaha appeared from the nostril of Brahma, and Lord Kapila appeared from the semen of Kardama. But this does not mean that the nostril of Brahma or the pillar of Hiranyakashipu's palace or the semen of Kardama Muni is the source of the appearance of the Lord. Right? He just he appears through there on his own. Yes.
Can we say that the Lord's expansions are also never born?
Yes. Yeah, no, they're not. Like that. But you may see that there's a manifestation of that particular potency. As Pritu Maharaj will be a Shakti Vaishavatar, so there'll be a jiva performing that activity. So the jiva is eternal. These potencies that are there manifest as the qualities of Pritu are eternal. Right? The Lord's, and they're eternally in the Lord, so that when they appear, then it's just, that's just part of the Lord's pastime. But the point is they're always there in Krishna, the person, the original person. They're always there. So then it's just a matter of, as he likes, he can manifest this. Because
also go for pure devotees.
Pure devotees means?
Yeah, pure devotee. A pure devotee who's born direct from Vaikuntha.
Means the soul is never born, but they may have an appearance pastime. But that particular living entity, he's always been there. He's not a combination. He's not a combination of the modes of nature. That's the forms, and all that may be the external forms. But Krishna appears by his internal potency, so he comes with the spiritual form. Right? And in Braj, then you'll have his eternal associates will have their spiritual form, and others will have a material form. Yeah. The Lord is always the Lord, Bhagavan Madhusudanaha. He is the killer of all kinds of demons, and he always remains the Lord, even if he appears as the son of a particular devotee. The Lord, the word kardamam is significant, for it indicates that the Lord had some devotional affection or relationship in devotional service with Kardama and Devahuti. But we should not mistakenly understand that he was born just like an ordinary living entity from the semen of Kardama Muni in the womb of Devahuti. By the power of Kardama's bhakti, the avatar Kapila appeared in this manner. The word virya, semen, is used only because this is well known for producing a son. The activity is different from material birth, being a pastime of the Lord's bliss in his sarup. The philosophers say, loka tvat tu lila kaivalyam. The Lord's pastimes without motive are similar to actions in this world. Brahma Sutra 2.1.33. In this world, a madman out of intense bliss dances without a particular motive. Similarly, the Lord acts without motive. Yeah, so it's just for his taste in the relationship with the devotees, that's what is being followed. So it's going to make the most, one, you know, the nicest arrangement, that's why it's going to be in that way. Right? You see what the devotees, the situation, the moods is there, then the interaction is accordingly. That makes sense. Without a goal, the Lord carries out creation out of bliss alone, like a madman dancing. What is the question of a goal for the Lord, who is complete bliss? He is everything. He is whatever there is. So then there is no goal as such that you're performing an activity to get a particular result. For him, it's just about the taste of rasa. That's all.
So Maharaj, for him, for Krishna, the devotee are very, very important because rasa is the devotee.
Yes, the whole thing is about Krishna and the devotees. That's why we see the whole devotional process starts become contact with the devotees. It's cultivated by the association of devotees. It's brought to its perfection by association of devotees. And in that perfect state, one continues in the association of devotees. So the association of devotees is the essential point. And in that association, then it's always about Krishna. Therefore, the always hearing and chanting, remembering the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord in the association of devotees. But it's from devotees we hear about these things. From the devotees we taste. So, yes, that's the important aspect. So Krishna has no other motive than he's just interacting with the devotees. There's not something to accomplish, like we're trying to accomplish. If I do this, then we'll, you know, okay, if we do like this, then things will be set up. Then we can, you know, sit down and we can chant and focus like that. But for Krishna, he doesn't have to accomplish something. He's always tasting the interaction and pastimes with the devotees, whether something specifically is being accomplished or not. Does that make sense? Persons who are liberated have no desires to be fulfilled. What then to speak of desires in the Lord, the soul of all beings? Narayana Samhita. Right, so the Lord, the persons who are liberated, they have no material desires. So the Krishna, who's the origin of every, why would he have? Right. They're just situated beyond. He's beyond because he's the source. So why would he have? Right. In this example, the madman is ignorant. One should not imply this in the Lord. Rather, the example is used to show that the Lord enacts pastimes without considering his goal, simply out of great inherent bliss. Similarly, one could find fault with the example of inhaling and exhaling, which are performed without motive. This is natural, but in deep sleep, the person is also unaware, whereas the Lord is always aware. Thus, the Lord's pastimes arise from the natural bliss of his sarup. Shruti says, Devasyaiva swabhavo yam apta kamasya ka spriha. The act of creation is the nature of the Lord. For one who desires, For one whose desires are fulfilled at all times, what desires does he have? Mundaki Upanishad. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Nitai Gaura Premanand.